What's up, family? My name's James. I'm an addict. Hey, James. How's the sound quality? Can everybody hear me? Yes. All right, that's good. I've never spoken to a microphone before. This is my first time. So I just want to make sure I do it right. Wow, what a great day to be clean. I'm so grateful to be up here. My clean date is April 15th, 2010, so last Sunday I celebrated 7 years clean. That's thanks to you guys. And at my anniversary, a gentleman came up to me, asked me if I would, I'm going to just be honest, asked me if I would speak at the convention. And so I was gassed, I was flattered, like honored to speak, like and just humbled to speak at this convention, because this is my my sixth time coming. The first time I came, I had 365 days on the day that I came out here. So I stood up the clean time countdown 1 year. It was a very emotional experience for me. I was just like so grateful. And I'd always looked at the people who were sitting in the front and just thought like, wow, you know, those guys. And then to be asked to speak, it was like, wow, what a responsibility. But I have no idea what I'm doing. You know, I don't consider myself to be like a convention level speaker. You know, all I know is just ask God to speak through me. Try to just be honest, carry a message. Remember that it's not about me. The newcomer is the most important person. And all I need to do, just do is show up. And so there was a mix-up on the topic. So I had been planning in my head to talk about one topic, and then I got here and they were like, you're speaking on a different topic. And I was like, so the topic is wherever you go, there they are, which is a great topic. That's it, yeah, yeah. Wherever you go, there you are. That's me, I still don't got it right. You know, for anybody who's new and this is their first time, I think one of the most important things that people told me when I got here that I heard someone say was, he said, you know, James, man, you are not the source of the information that you need that's going to save your life. And I always tell myself that I'm not the source of the information that I need that's going to save my life, because the help that I've gotten in Narcotics Anonymous has always come from, like, who I expected least to come from. You know, like I see somebody, my first thought is like, oh man, they're not going to be able to help me, you know? I don't know. But a lot of the times, like if I keep an open mind, that's where I get most of my help. And, you know, I say that because I think one of the hardest things to do since I've been clean is to be able to come in here and be honest about the way that I feel as a man. That's always just been tough for me, to just open up and be honest about what's going on. I know a lot of people in here can relate to that. And another thing is just to be open-minded to, like, you know, where I'm going to get my help. You know, so I'm going to just share a little bit about what it was like for me, what happened, and what it's like now, kind of touch on my story and try to tie all that into wherever you go, there you are. See, in my mind, I can't decide if that's wherever you go, there you are. Like, I'm thinking about God, so I'm thinking there's God in my life. Everywhere I go, there you are. But then also, wherever I go, I got to face myself, too. So it's like, man, I don't know. You know, I come from a family like a lot of dysfunction, a lot of this like dysfunctional people in my family, a lot of abuse. I always talk about that because I know that that's something I could relate to when people shared about that when I got here. Family full of addicts, a lot of domestic violence, divorce in the family when I was young, people coming and going, mom had different boyfriends, people using drugs, people selling drugs, and that's just like the lifestyle that I was exposed to. As long as I can remember, like my mom, I always used to joke like she was selling that coke like it was Avon. She just had people coming in and out of the house. You know what I mean? Like it was a makeup supply. Shit, I don't know. But excuse my language, I'm trying not to curse. But when I talk about the disease of addiction, I'm talking about something that's so personal to me. It's so touching that it's hard for me not to curse. And so, yeah. So, man, I'll tell you what. You know, I remember when I was young, like, a big thing watching, you know, the abuse in the house was, like, I just didn't want to go home. Like, I was scared to face the family and myself. And so a lot of the times, I stayed outside and I just didn't go in. And I think, I lost my train of thought. Thank you. And, you know, like, it always takes me back to just, like, a place of, like, you know, being a teenager and being young and being very self-centered and being very, like, concerned with what other people thought about me. And so I remember like not wanting to go home and not wanting to be a part of the family that I was in. And then thinking about like, you know, I lived in a neighborhood, the police were always coming to my house. Police were showing up and I was like, man, everybody thinks my life is fucked up. And I was so worried about what everybody else thought about me that that was always in my head, worried about what other people thought. And so like, I was always looking for a way to change the way that I felt, you know? And that was like, before I ever picked up a drug, that was through things just like, you know, whether that be violent acts or graffiti or just, you know, lighting fires in the woods, whatever it was. Those are the things I did to kind of get outside of myself. And, you know, like, I always kind of share a story that I remember so vividly about, like, my childhood and about how this played a role in my addiction was, like, I always used to, the family that I grew up with, everybody smoked cigarettes in the house, you know? Like, they were trapping in the house, everybody smoking. It was like a hot box house. The whole house was just a smoke lair. And, yeah. And so I was just like, I'd keep my clothes tied in plastic bags because I didn't want to go to school smelling like smoke. And I'll never forget, like, I smelled so bad. I was smelling like smoke. And my mom's boyfriend, he had this stuff called Brute Aftershave. And it was like, okay, so people here know what that is. I didn't really know what that was. But I remember, like, taking the Brute Aftershave and putting it on my clothes to try to cover the smell of cigarette smoke. And so I would go to school smelling like Brute Aftershave and cigarette smoke. I smelled like shit. You know? Like, I smelled really bad. It's funny because whenever I say that, people laugh. Like, it's really funny. But it wasn't funny when that was going on. Like, I was really fucked up about that. I smelled like shit. I didn't have any friends. People thought I was weird. The clothes I wore me now were hand-me-down, like, Spinal Tap rock and roll t-shirts. Shit, I didn't even know what these bands were. They weren't from my generation. I was not cool, you know? And I was not cool. And so what I did was I got with other people who were, like, kind of outcast, kind of misfit, just kind of didn't fit in. And what those older kids did was they got high. And so I found acceptance, like, with those people. And I found love from those people. And so the first time I got high, that was like, for me, that was the solution to all my problems. The drugs were the solution. That was the way for me to stop worrying about what was going on at home, the things that were going on with my family, what I was wearing to school, what other people thought about me, just getting out of my head. The drugs took me out of that. The drugs were like my savior. They were my everything. The drugs meant more to me than anything, more than any relationships I had with anybody. More, I'm talking God, anything. Nothing mattered. All that mattered to me was the drugs. I started using young, and like people talked about, I've heard it here a lot, they talk about how the disease is progressive, incurable, and fatal. The book talks about it, and that's my story, right? The disease, I don't even need to go into the whole drug log. I was a by any means addict. I did whatever it took to get high. That meant, I could go on and on about the things that I did. I hurt the people who loved me the most. You know, I did things, unspeakable things that I don't want to say on tape, that I don't even want to talk about, that I had to do to get another one, you know? And just a lot of those things went against everything that I valued, a lot of any integrity or morals or things that I believed in. Basically, all that shit went out the window. I did anything to get high. And so, you know, at the end of my using, you know, all the outside stuff was fucked up. You know, I didn't have anything. I didn't have, like, you know, any outside material possessions that I had. I didn't have any stuff. No stuff at all. Like, I didn't have shit. I really didn't have anything at all. And I really didn't have nothing. But, you know, I got convicted of a felony. I was in jail. I was coming out of jail. And this, you know, I've been going in and out of jail probably since I was, you know, in my young adult life, since I became an adult. And, you know, all the outside stuff was pretty much trash, like the relationships with my family. I didn't have any real life type of formal education. Like, you know, I had gone to high school, but, just like kind of showed up. That was really about it. And I didn't stay for long. I just went there to that's where I met up with everybody, you know? We all meet up at the school and then we go from there. You know, it's just, what do you want to do? But, you know, at the end, like, I was getting high, I was doing whatever it took to get high, and, you know, somebody introduced me to somebody and I sold some dope to this guy, and, you know, he was, his name was Big Mike, but his real name was Detective Oaks, and, Yeah, you remember. And I was on probation for another distribution charge. And so that's when I ended up, they just said, you know, I went in front of the commissioner. They said, you know, you don't get a bond. Well, I was out on bail. I was out on bail when that happened. So I went back in front of, I got out. What happened was I got arrested on May 1st. And the anniversary of that's coming up, and I'll never forget it because that's actually my dad's birthday. I hadn't been home in a long time, but I got arrested on my dad's birthday. They raided his house on his birthday. And I hadn't talked to him. I hadn't called him to wish him a happy birthday. I didn't even realize it was his birthday until I was in jail. I was like, oh, God, it's his birthday. They're like, we're going to your house. I was like, what house? I don't have a house. We're going to your dad's house. And I was like, oh man, it's his birthday. I was like, oh, no. And so I got out. And then 3 days later on Cinco de Mayo, I got arrested again while I was out on bail. Anyway, I'm back in jail, and I go in front of the commissioner. This time they pulled me out of the car. They just beat my ass. I mean, my face was all messed up, right? Yeah, my face was messed up. They just put me on the ground and dragged me. Anyway, the point of the story was I went in front of the commissioner. They said, look, you know, you get no bail. You know, you get no bond. You're out on bail, and you get arrested again. So I just sat. And when I was in there, the craziest thing happened. The attorney said, look, you got to get into this program in the jail. And in the program, they bring NA meetings. So thank God for Montgomery Area H&I. These two guys sitting next to me right here, just so happens tonight, bringing meetings into the jail. And it's funny because I was actually in the holding cell. I'm one of the gentlemen who came. It's crazy because just God, wherever I go, there he is. That's how it's supposed to get tied in. Because I was sitting in the holding cell and the door pops open, clink, clink, and it opens up and this fly-looking dude comes in with a suit and gold on, jewelry and a Rolex. And I'm like, he's probably got some dope. So I'm like, what? I'm like, what's good? And he's like, you know, and we start to talk and he's like, yeah, man, I'm just coming and going real quick off an old warrant. But you know, have you ever heard of Narcotics Anonymous? And we start talking about program of recovery. I'm in there sick. Cinco de Mayo, someone had just threw a whole thing of go-gurt on me. It's a party in the holding cell. Go-gurt all over me. I'm sick. Police beat me up. My life is just a mess. I am broken inside and out. I'm in the worst place ever. And here's this guy talking about, you know, I'm like, I actually don't do any drugs when I'm like, because I said, what's up? You know, like, what's really good? And he said, nah, man, I go to meetings. And that was really my first introduction to the program at NA. This guy right here, man. And wherever I go, it's like there he was the whole time. He was there even when I wasn't seeking, when I wasn't looking. It was like God was always working in my life. And the book talks about we see coincidences and miracles happen in our life and acceptance starts to become trust. And it's like when I started doing the step work, that's when I started to realize how God was working in my life. I never saw it, but when I started to put the pen to the paper, that's when I could start to see working the whole time. Wherever I go, there he was. Right? And then so then I'm in the program, and then Tony starts bringing the meetings into the program that I was in. And so then I got into the habit of going to meetings. I started to look forward to going to meetings. The program was working. That's crazy. And basically, like, you know, when I got out, it wasn't like any one of those things where, like, I got out and I stayed clean. You know, I had to go through what I had to go through. But the seed had been planted, right? And once you get that little bit of recovery, you know, it becomes hard to get high. I'd be riding down Georgia Avenue, and I'd be passing by that NA meeting in Wheaton on a Monday. I'd be like, oh, shit, there's a meeting going on. I'm going the opposite direction. But it was in the back of my mind that the meetings were going on. I had that head full of recovery, body full of dope. I was fucked up. And that's when I knew, like, for me, like, I was at a point in my life where, you know, I was just talking about how I didn't have anything and like all the stuff on the outside was fucked up, but on the inside, I hated who I was. Life just wasn't worth living for me. I didn't even care if I lived. I was really, really fucked up on the inside. And you know, what it seemed like to me was you know, like the way that I was headed was like, you know, I'm either gonna go back and I'm gonna do some real time or I need to get some help. And thank God for the people in Narcotics Anonymous. It's like wherever I go, there y'all are too. Because any time in my life, no matter what it was that I was going through, people in Narcotics Anonymous were always there for me. No matter what it was that I was going through. It's just, am I willing to accept the help? That's the part, because people in here always want to help me. It's like, you know, sometimes I can be closed-minded. They don't fuck with me. You know, they're fake, you know. They just talk a lot of shit, you know. But really, if I'm in a good spiritual place, then I know that the people in here, there are people in here who have my best interests at heart. And so I checked into an outpatient treatment center, and the last time I got high was April 14, 2010. The guy that I got high with, he died October 16th, 2014. That was my brother. I miss him every day. And I lost a lot of friends in the who some that I met in the program of Narcotics Anonymous have gone out, others that I knew before, others that I got clean with, and I miss them. You know, and that crushes me, but by the grace of God, you know, here we are in this room. That's a miracle. And I think, you know, just to kind of get to where I'm at now, it's like when I got here, I didn't have any life skills. You know, one of the hardest things for me to do is come in here and be honest and say that I needed help. And to say, like, look, I'm, you know, 24 years old. I don't know how to live life without getting high. I don't know how to hold a job. I don't have a resume. I don't have any reference. Nobody's going to say anything good about me if you call them. Any place ever brought me in, I stole. You know, nobody was going to say, yeah, you should give him a job. You know, and so I didn't have, like, when you fill out the application, it's like, are you a felon? Yep. Put your work experience down. None. I don't got shit. Nobody. Hey, but the program on Narcotics Anonymous working. Wherever I was going, there y'all were. Right? I had 90 days clean, and the program was working, but I came in the meeting and I shared, then shit is not working. I don't have a job. But I was clean 90 days. Right? And a guy... My main man, Deli Dave, came up to me and said, hey, you should go over here and say you know Deli Dave at this deli. Right? And so I rolled up in a suit. I borrowed a suit. I put the suit on. I was trying to go get a dishwasher position. Put the suit on. I come in. I'm like, hey, we're interviewing. I'm like, hey, I know Deli Dave. They're like, oh, you know Deli Dave? I'm like, yeah. They're like, when can you start? And I was like, shit, you got an apron? I'll start today. I'm ready to work. It's the same thing, like, man, and I'm not saying that that's one of the, you know, the only promise in the program is freedom from active addiction. That, you know, we say that you can, you'll stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Not that you'll get a job. But that's my experience, that people in Narcotics Anonymous, wherever I went, there they were. Around 9 months, somebody was like, hey, we're going to go to the community college, you should come. I was like, oh, fuck it, you know? And I went, and I signed up. Shit, 4 years later, I had a degree, a college degree. Ooh, yeah. 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 And that's clapping for y'all, because that wasn't even my doing. The first class I took, I sat right next to the dude from NA. He sat right next to me. We took the class together. And it wasn't the first class that I took or the last with someone in the program. People were taking the classes with me. They got me here to this point. You know? The job, the education, like all that shit is great. But at the end of the day, when I had a family problem, the guys over here, these are the ones that I called. I picked up the phone, like, hey, you know, my sister told me the closest she ever felt to me was when I was in jail. Because then she'd come visit me, then we'd actually be face to face for a whole however long, like an hour. And I don't think I ever talked to my sister face to face for an hour till I was in jail. And she was like, wow, I felt like I really got to know you. And I was like, yeah. I was like, me too. But I wanted Narcotics Anonymous to teach me how to have relationships with my family. You know what I mean? And Narcotics Anonymous has done that for me. And so, like, I sit up here today, I have no idea how long I've talked for. But I feel like, from the bottom of my heart, like, no matter, you know, wherever I go, whatever I do, like, there I am, but in my mind, there God is and there you guys are. So wherever I go, if I'm there, I'm good because I got y'all and I got God. And there hasn't been a single thing that there's nothing I don't feel like I can get through. I feel like I can get through anything clean, is what I'm trying to say. I feel like with y'all and God, I feel like no matter what it is, I can get through it clean, because I hear other people share, like both of my parents are still living, and I hear people share that their dad died and they went to a meeting. And I'm like, damn, you know? So there's like any type of reservation I have, it just gets eliminated when I open my mind. And I listen to the people on Narcotics Anonymous who came here before me and tell me that anything that I'm going through, I can get through clean. Just a few things that I got to do. I got to be willing to show up. Number one, I got to be willing to be honest about where I'm at. Closed mouths don't get fed. We all know that. You know what I mean? You got to speak up. I can't get help if I just come in here, sit in the back, leave before the miracle happens. I got to be able to raise my hand and say, I'm James, I'm new, I need help. And so, you know, everything that's going on in my life is like, all the good things I attribute all to the program of Narcotics Anonymous and the grace of God. I think that, I don't think that, you know, I think we can stay clean through anything together, and I think that most of my change has come through step work and getting help from other people in the program of Narcotics Anonymous. My home group is Sunday nights at 7:30. It's Today's Recovery. It's in Gaithersburg. If you guys are ever out in Montgomery County, that's where we're at. It's a good group. Thank God for Montgomery area H&I. I'm so grateful. And I feel like I've talked enough. Man, I love you guys, for real. Thanks. Thanks for letting me share.